It's the Opperman Report. Join digital forensic investigator and PI Ed Opperman for an in-depth discussion of conspiracy theories, strategy of New World Order resistance, high-profile court cases in the news, and interviews with expert guests and authors on these topics and more. It's the Opperman Report. And now, here is investigator Ed Opperman.
Okay, welcome to the Opperman Report. I'm your host, private investigator Ed Opperman. And you can find me at Opperman Investigations and Digital Forensic Consulting. If you need a PI, just get a hold of me at OppermanInvestigations@gmail.com. If you like the show, be sure to check out our Patreon, Opperman Report Patreon. Everything you hear here, Monday to Friday, AM/FM radio, Monday to Friday, you could find on our Patreon with all the commercials cut out ad-free. Plus, I always have a lot of additional content that goes up there. Our archives you can always find for free at Spreaker.com. If you go to Spreaker.com and sign up, it's free. You get an email notification whenever we put up new content. And also, too, there's a chat room, and I play repeats there every single night. And I do a live show there, exclusively to Spreaker, Friday nights at 8 p.m. Our guest today is an old friend from Vegas, Amber Marie. I met her first because she was running this organization called Rights Society. Then I saw recently she wrote this book about chakras. Okay, a chakra shadow workshop. So I'm really interested to hear this because Amber is like the most beautiful, peaceful, glowing woman. I think I've met like 10 women like this in my life. So she's got some kind of secret here, and I want to figure it out, okay? You go to Etsy. Etsy, the page is Human Soul, but it's spelled H-U-E-M-A-N-S-O-L on Etsy, Human Soul. But you can also find her on Instagram. And if you don't believe me, check it out. Beautiful pictures in the desert, hiking, yoga, all this kind of stuff. Ricky for Lou. That's Ricky, just like you spell it, the number 4, L-O-U. She also does, she teaches yoga every other Saturday from spring to March, though. It's going to start up again in March because it's too cold over here in Vegas. And she's a death doula. And we're going to let her explain it to her what that is. So, Amber Marie, are you there?
I am here. Thank you so much, Ed, for having me on the show.
Oh, no, thank you for coming. And it brings back memories to talk to you and to hear your voice again. Tell the audience, who is Amber Marie?
Well, I feel like I'm still discovering parts of who she is. But from what I do know, I am a creative at heart. I love discovering and playing in nature and kind of just exploring other people in general and learning and getting as much information as I can to better learn more about myself and who I am. I grew up in Southern California, so I was a total beach baby, surfer girl. My father was an avid skateboarder. I can remember being at a young age and him just having ragers of like emptying out our pool and having crazy parties at the house. So I grew up in a very untraditional family in the sense that they were kids as well and kind of living off their life with kids. So we kind of got to tag along on all their explorations and camping. And I mean, I had a fun childhood. I can't say enough great things about my childhood as far as really I was given the freedom to explore myself as a kid. I didn't have a lot of boundaries. I got to explore my surroundings in my own way without any really big opinions being pushed upon me. So I think that laid a really good groundwork for me to kind of grow into the human I am now. But yeah, I moved to Vegas in my early 20s, and moving out here kind of opened up a whole other world to me because, as we know, Sin City never shuts down. It's very different than Southern California. It's a very overstimulated city. There's always so much going on. So when I got here, I kind of was spun around a little bit, like being in a washing machine, because I had access to so much other things. So, you know, I got into a little bit of trouble here and there, but not too much trouble, but more trouble than I had ever gotten into. And from that, just kind of really, again, just finding my way from then to now is kind of like a night and day difference. I feel like I've lived many different lifetimes in this short period of time. So I guess in a nutshell, that's like what I'm about and who I am. And
well, I got to tell you, that's a pleasure to hear someone having a good childhood. I do so many shows about people and basically their childhood was destroyed. And I guess that's what made you such a good mom, because your kids are beautiful. Your kids, they look so peaceful and happy, you know? So
yeah.
Now, you told me before.
Being a mom
Go ahead.
I was going to say, being a mom has become one of the greatest things. They are my greatest teachers. They have really taught me a lot about myself, my boys. They're great. I'm really, really lucky to have them.
Yeah, isn't it? It's so true, man. It's, I love my kid too. Before the show, though, you were telling me that you're also a death doula. What is that?
Yes. So my journey as far as like kind of getting more into the meditative yoga practices began in 2012. I was kind of just, again, not newly here, but I was kind of in the throes of like being like in the industry, the nightlife industry, and kind of like getting sucked into that world. And I was just kind of waking up depleted and just worn out and not happy. And I was like, okay, like I got to do something different. So I began going to yoga classes and it really kind of ignited this passion with me. Like, wow, this is kind of like what I've been needing. This is like that missing link to really calm everything down and come back to my center and pull all that energy that I am experiencing back inward and really look at it and view it. So I decided to take it further and I wanted to get my teacher training. So in 2014, I became a certified yoga teacher, which just kind of opened the floodgates for everything else I did after that. It really laid the groundwork for everything. Since then, I have completed certifications in Kundalini, which is ancient breathwork practices, Reiki practices, which is energy work. I've traveled to different countries working with and learning to facilitate various plant and animal medicines. And I've lived with indigenous tribes in the Amazon jungle for weeks at a time. And then in 2020 is when I joined the Anamkara Academy, which is a death doula school. And that just kind of like opened up a whole other realm of just things that people don't really talk about. You know, we have this end game as all humans, you know, we know that we are going to die, yet nobody really talks about that. And there's a big fear around death. And I like to kind of normalize death because, again, it is something that we are going to process. We are going to lose everything we love one day. And to kind of really get that conversation going and to help people explore their own mortality has brought a lot of healing to my life. I've got to meet a lot of really, really amazing people and heard amazing stories. And there's something really special and vulnerable when people are in those last moments of life and you're sitting there and you're witnessing, you know, this next transition into whatever that might be. And, you know, we can speculate and say what we believe in and what we think is going to happen, but we don't actually know until it happens. And sitting with these people as they cross over, I kind of feel like I get a little glimpse of what that's like. And I can say it has brought me so much peace and comfort around the idea of dying that I feel like they are doing way more for me than I feel like I'm doing for them by being like a conscious presence there, listening to them and witnessing them and holding the space for them as they transition on. So it's been really, really beautiful to unravel in this journey.
That is one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard. And I got to tell you something. I'm contemplating my own mortality. You know, I'm 60 years old now. No kid. Empty nester. My kid left the house. Change of, you know, location across the country. And I got to have you come back and just talk about that, okay? That's just incredible. That's incredible stuff there.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. It's like, it opens a whole can to, like, this really beautiful conversation, like I said, is really necessary to have with, you know, each other and the people we're close with. And yeah, it's a beautiful topic. I could talk about it forever.
well, right now the book is only available on esty.com, and it's called Unifying the Whole. And so we'll have you come back in a few months when the website's up and you're on Amazon and stuff, and we'll get back into this whole thing. Now, if people want to take a yoga class from you, how would they do that?
So I usually teach at Sunset Park, which is a pretty popular park here in Vegas. As I went through my teacher training, I just realized how expensive it is for people to, you know, get a membership at a yoga studio. And a lot of people don't have access to that. So as a way of giving back to the community, I like to offer community-based yoga. It's donation-based, but it's not required to join at all. And I just feel like people that are wanting and needing these modalities of healing should have access to them, and money shouldn't be an issue. So one Saturday every other week, I go out to Sunset Park and just hold a group space to just really connect with each other and with ourselves. And we go through breath work and various asanas and just move and stretch the body. And yeah, it's great. I've met a lot of really, really cool people by just, again, opening that space.
Yeah, it's so true. I've never seen an unhappy yoga instructor, Juan. Okay. And they usually do, even at a yoga studio, they'll give you, you know, they don't want to lose you. They'll give you a discount, so let you come clean the place up, you know, get free lessons.
Yeah.
So that's a Ricky 4 LOU, number 4 LOU on Instagram. Okay, so tell us about the book. And keep in mind, too, the people who are listening to this, they're not Googling chakras, you know. Okay, they're just driving along in their car. So 101, okay, unifying the whole. What are we going to find in this book?
Yeah. So, again, like you said earlier, this book was created out of my own healing, my own grief, my own traumas, heartbreak, insecurities, struggles, fears, you know, all these really dark shadow qualities that we deem unworthy within ourselves. So in the human body, we have pretty major energy centers that go up the spinal column. And within all these energy centers, there sits various degrees of trauma, depending on age, depending on the level of trauma, whatever it may be. But they get wedged in these various spaces in our body, which causes dis-ease in the body, which turns into disease. So disease. And the more we kind of ignore these energy centers in the body, the more they kind of run on an autopilot mode. So when we are not paying attention and actively working with the energy in our body, we're basically giving it permission to kind of run rampant and do whatever it wants. So instead of us reacting to our energy, we're going to change the way we work with it. And now we are in the driver's seat. We get to really go through and give direct input and regular maintenance from us to our body. So this kind of flips the switch within our, you know, our nerve pathways in the brain to kind of let the body know that, like, okay, we're ready to do work. We're ready to kind of like stop kidding ourselves and like explore these really deep, vast crevices, these gateways, and access these points to release some pretty heavy things that have been weighing on us for so long. And, you know, like I said, they kind of run down the energy channel. There's 7 major ones in the body, all the way from the root to the sacral, which is where, you know, the sexual organs reside, to the solar plexus, to the heart, to the throat, to the third eye, to the top of the crown. So all the way down the spine. And yeah, they function by transferring or translating energy from one plane of existence to the other. So spirit to matter, you know, we're energy, we're vibration, we're all these different frequencies within a human. So I don't think we give ourselves enough credit for how incredible the human body is.
Let me ask you this real quick. What do we do? Do we first identify the issues we're having and then seek out benefits from this handbook? Or will the handbook show us what our diseases are and our issues are?
So this handbook starts off by kind of teaching you what the energy channels are. It teaches you where they are in the body, at what age each. So, for instance, we'll start with the root. So the root chakra is our base. It's where our formative years begin. So this root chakra holds trauma from birth to 7 years of age. So anything that's happened within there, and mainly, you know, what we worry about at that age is foundations, stability, were we taken care of? And if those needs aren't met, it creates trauma in the body. You know, it creates feelings of mistrust or feelings of unworthiness or scarcity around money or dysfunction. If we were in dysfunctional families where a lot of like arguing was going on, it gives us a lot of anxiety. So that's a really big one for people to work through is their root chakra. So this book is going to, again, walk you through each chakra, show you what's going to be held in this, and just kind of give you some thought-provoking questions. So we'll start asking you questions, you know, were you in an unsafe home? Were your emotional needs met when you were a child? Was there yelling in the household? Were you able to express emotions in a healthy manner? You know, it kind of triggers all these things that people don't really go back and think about. So you're able to kind of walk through your past and see where maybe these things that you didn't have control of are now kind of taking the driver's seat and gearing your life in a really unconscious way.
Excellent, because my audience will definitely appreciate that, and they'll be able to understand that, because we do a lot of shows about the childhood trauma, abuse, sexual abuse of children and stuff in society and stuff. So that's very, very helpful to the audience here.
Yeah. So this book is really intended, like, for multiple uses. Like, each time we're in a different phase of our life and we're clearing out these things, it's just kind of making room for more. It's kind of revealing more within ourselves. So as we are always healing new parts of the self and ever-changing, you know, new memories, new traumas, intentions will be sparked each time we visit this book. So this isn't just like a one-time use. This is like a multiple use to kind of go back to each time and just kind of revisit and see, like, okay, well, you know, what else is sitting in there? What else have I not discovered about myself yet? And each time you answer these questions, as you heal through before, this question will spark something different within you. So, and I always encourage people, you know, to take your time. And if a particular question does stir up a powerful reaction, explore those inner workings with compassion and be patient with yourself. You know, we are constant motion of flowing energy, so to be able to move freely within our inner world and find our balances, it takes time and it takes a lot of practice.
Yeah, I had assumed that this was like a workbook that it would be daily work. Is this like daily work that we do it every day, affirmations and stuff?
Yeah, so it's marked, so each chakra goes through about a week of work. So you'll learn about the chakra, you'll learn about the energy center, what's being held with it, and then every day you'll have anywhere from 5 to 10 questions that you'll kind of go through. So it's a week per chakra, so it's 7 weeks total. But again, go at your own pace. Day one may take you 3 days as you kind of go through and really process what this is stirring up for you. So again, you're not beholden to any time with it. It's at your own pace. But yes, there is daily prompts to kind of open up these, you know, traumatic things that are kind of sitting within us.
And I would say, is that for each chakra it takes 7 weeks, or the whole book takes 7 weeks?
The whole book takes 7 weeks. Yeah, it's a week per chakra, and then there's 7 chakras total in the body that we're going through.
So in 7 weeks, I am assuming I would see dramatic benefits to my life.
Yeah, absolutely. You will, like I said, as you explore, you'll be able to forgive yourself. You know, you'll be able to, you know, see these things that have been pushed down so far that we've forgotten the truth behind them. You know, we've created so many stories behind what we think happened or the ideas, what happened, without kind of going back and replaying the details. And I think it's time we begin to forgive ourselves for things we may have not known better at the time, or from reacting from really unsafe places and situations we've been in, and forgiving all the parts for, you know, what we had to do in our survival patterns and to protect ourselves in those times, and also forgive ourselves for who we needed to be in those times.
Yeah. One of the mechanisms, the defense mechanisms for early childhood abuse is forgetting. You know, you forget about it. That's your body tells you, I don't want to remember this. So this is going to open
it. Yeah, it's your body's way of protecting itself, yeah.
Okay, then what's the second, the next root, the next chakra?
So the next one is the sacral chakra. So that's like in that lower abdomen area. It's where, you know, all the sexual organs are, the creativity flows. It's about 2 inches below the belly button. This is kind of more 7 to 14. This is when your body's starting to change and your hormones are starting to, you know, activate, and you're getting, you know, those googly eyes and puppy love, and like you're starting to feel things within your body that you normally wouldn't feel as a child unless you have had some traumatic sexual abuse and it was triggered at a really early stage. But this chakra does go through a lot of those more painful things regarding sexuality and regarding how we hold sexuality. And again, this will trigger different questions. And I feel like out of all the chakras, this one is the more sensitive one. So there is a kind of little precursor ahead of time to kind of like, you know, if you are not in a position to where you're ready to face these things, don't feel like you have to, you know, let it come naturally. Don't feel like you're pressured into going through these, if everything in your body is rejecting it and telling you, like, I'm not ready for this, then honor that. But I also kind of encourage you to be in a safe place to where you can at least explore the surface level of what these things are. So that is a more sensitive one, a more sensitive chakra for everyone.
And what did you say it was called?
It's called the sacral chakra.
Sacral chakra. Okay, so now how do we know that it's located below the belly button? Where does that information come from?
So this came from Sanskrit. So this is like ancient Sanskrit. So like Hindu and Brahma, like all the old sages and yogis discovered that we had these wheel-like or discs energy centers in the body. And someone just kind of like intuitively discovered where each was. And then through science and, you know, modern day techniques, we do see that there are major portals in the body. Again, the heart is the main one that most people can recognize as a really recognizable, again, portal. And the heart is actually the bridge between the spiritual and the physical because, again, we feel such heavy emotions, but we also transcend a lot of heavy emotions through the heart space. So in discovering the heart was the most recognizable, they kind of started discovering other ones. The next most recognizable one was the third eye chakra.
Wait, before we get to that, though, back to the sacral chakra. What kind of benefit would I receive? If I went through this course with better sex, better love, wouldn't my partner have to do it too?
No, I mean, not necessarily. It's obviously, if you have a supportive partner that wants to do this healing with you, I mean, it can only strengthen your bond and your relationship. But I feel like this is more a gift to yourself. Because the more you gift these healing modalities to yourself, the better we are for our partners, the better we show up for our family, the better we show up for our relationships and our friendships and anything outside of us. You know, when we're strong in our individual self, then we can be strong for other people.
Yeah, and I always say, if you want to attract a better partner, work on yourself first. You know, go looking for
absolutely. Yeah. I could not agree more because you're attracting what you're putting out. Yeah. So if you're putting out your best, most authentic self, you're going to receive the most authentic, better counterpart.
Quickly, before we get into the next chakra, what about the diet benefit? What is your diet? I'm a vegan now. What are you?
I'm a vegan as well. I eat pretty clean. Like I stay away from, you know, anything that's not nutrient rich food, anything that doesn't have like a life force energy. And there's nothing wrong with eating meat. I like to call people, you know, if you are eating meat, be a conscious carnivore. Really educate yourself on where your meat is coming from. Because if you're eating this factory farm stuff that's like pumped with antibiotics and hormones and you're putting that in your body, and you're just eating these really sick, diseased animals, it really does have some really detrimental benefits to the body, as well as like harboring various diseases for the body. So it's important that we take care of this vessel because we only get one shot at this particular life. And why not, you know, nourish not only our bodies, but, you know, our mind, our spirit, our soul with everything that's beneficial to us.
Yeah, life is short.
Food is definitely important.
Okay, third chakra.
The third chakra is the solar plexus. So this is right below the rib cage. It's about four fingers above the belly button and, you know, significantly a little bit lower than the heart. This one is where our willpower, where our self-esteem, where our confidence, it all kind of sits right here in this spot. So you notice when you're, you know, struggling or you're trying to muster up courage, you kind of like really harness into that space and breathe and kind of puff out the chest a little bit. But this is where we get our power from. A lot of people are deficient in this, like especially if you're feeling like you're really fatigued or lazy or feeling powerless or overindulging in things, have low self-esteem. This means you have a really underactive solar plexus chakra right there. So when you are harmonious in this chakra, you feel very confident in yourself. You don't struggle with self-doubt or aggressive or any like egotism, like I'm better than thou attitude. So finding the balance between those two things. And again, as you go through this workbook, you'll be able to kind of see where you're deficient and go through the different shadow qualities that exist within this particular space. So, for example, one big shadow quality that sits in the space is being selfish. And but actually, before I get into the shadow qualities, I kind of want to explain what shadow work is. So Carl Jung, he's a Swiss psychiatrist and a psychoanalyst, and he came up with the coin term shadow work, and he described it as the unknown side of the personality. It is some of the most important work we do as individuals because it brings awareness to belief systems, to emotions, to experiences, generational thought patterns that affect our everyday decisions and outcomes. So when people go through these shadow qualities and they think like, oh, you know, I'm a terrible person because I'm selfish. No, everyone has a sense of selfishness within them. It's kind of flipping the rhetoric on what selfish actually means. So being selfish means you're being your most extreme self. You know, in the darker shadow quality side of it is you're being overbearing to get what you want, or you can't help another if you haven't taken care of yourself. But if you, again, flip the script on selfish, there's actually a really important gift in this quality, and it's your ability and your willingness for self-care, because, again, if you're not taking care of yourself, you're not really benefiting anyone. So it's also kind of important to be selfish, but being selfish in healthy ways, but also regarding the needs and feelings of others. So, again, shadow work is very important, and it's just parts of ourselves that we try to push away or ignore, again, because we deem them badly, but without looking at what gift also lies within these. So each chakra quality has a couple shadow qualities that, and again, this is all in the workbook that we'll go through and kind of show you like, okay, yeah, I am a little selfish, but okay, on the other side, like, it's good for me to be selfish. I just need to redirect that selfish energy into a positive outcome.
Now, once again, the book is called Unifying the Whole, and you could find it on Etsy on the Human Soul, HUEMANSOL on Etsy. But also, too, you could find her on Instagram, Ricky Forlou, RICKY, number 4, LOU. Now, this shadow work, is it specific to each chakra, or is it over, covers everything all at the same time?
So the shadow work encompasses the whole being. So we have a multitude of shadow qualities. Most of our shadow qualities come to us as children and through our adolescence. This is when we learn to act a certain way to be accepted. So that causes us to push aside any parts of ourselves that don't fit in whatever mold is trying to be created for us. So we form these shadows as adults, but fully formed adults have an easier time recognizing these shadows. So we have an option to embrace those pushed aside parts as children and, again, bring it back to the whole. So each chakra does have specific shadow qualities that sit within them. So, example, if we want to go back to the root, one of the main shadow qualities in the root is being needy. But we have to also understand that we are born into this existence being needy. As you know, tiny little beings, we're wired for connection, and it's vital that we receive love and tenderness from another to support, learn, and grow from. So we thrive when we feel connected, when we feel needy. Being needy is when we abandon ourselves by not taking responsibility for our own feelings. So the gift in being needy is to embrace our vulnerability. And vulnerability, in my opinion, is the greatest act of courage because it merges you with your authentic self. So again, if you're a needy child, it's kind of just rewriting that framework and rewriting those neural pathways in the brain to not think of being needy as a bad thing that I need to push away about myself. You know, it's important to be needy in a healthy way.
Have you ever heard of that concept? It's when little kids are about 4 or 5 years old and they're left alone to play amongst themselves. Very little supervision, some kids are able to tune into the game when they're making up their own games. Some kids are able to tune in and some aren't. Are you familiar with that?
I'm a little bit. It's kind of like the nature versus nurture. It kind of, again, I feel like it goes back to how how your home life was as a child. Are you able to really tap into that and kind of like look outside and, like, as you say, play into the game?
Hmm. Okay, then what is the next chakra coming up?
So the next one is the heart. So this is the center of the body. So we have the three lower chakras, which are the physical ones, so the root, the sacral, and the solar plexus. And then the heart is the bridge. So then as we move forward up through the chakras, they get more spiritual in nature. So again, the heart is the bridge that bridges the physical with the spiritual chakras. This is the center of our being. So this is where our love emits from. This is our balance. This is our connection. It's, you know, self-compassion, self-acceptance, openness, unconditional love. It's all these like really beautiful qualities that we have as humans. But on the flip side of it, they also harbor a lot of grief, a lot of sadness, a lot of fear, a lot of bitterness. There's, you know, a lot of other qualities that also sit within the space. So again, finding the balance between the two. A shadow quality that is pretty common in the heart is a weak heart, feeling lonely, feeling like we don't have people to lean into. But we are stronger, you know, we're stronger when we can befriend ourselves, when we can sit in that loneliness and really transmute it into the gift. So the gift in being weak is the ability to reach out when we need it. It's like humbled weakness, and that steers our compassion for self and for others. So that's just another quality in the heart.
And once again, the book is Unifying the Soul on the Human Soul page on Etsy, HUEMANSOL. Now, there's a woman just did a study, the coming loneliness. Okay, in the next 10 years, the loneliness is going to skyrocket in the United States because of the age and these cell phones and all this kind of stuff. How can, if it's an external cause for the loneliness, how could this self-work help it?
So a lot of the external is, again, not feeling connected to people, not finding people we can be vulnerable with, and not finding people that we can trust or have honest conversations with, or being really in that fear mindset that everyone is our enemy, everyone is against us. And I think that with the day and age we're in right now, you know, with politics and news sources, you know, they've made us kind of fear each other a lot. So I feel like tapping into those fears and kind of seeing what is it that we're afraid of by connecting with other people. Because usually it has nothing to do with other people. It has to do with something within ourselves that we either experienced or we were told, or some sort of belief system that isn't actual truth. So the more we break down those walls and see that, like, we don't actually have to fear each other. There's a lot of strength in numbers, obviously. And I feel like, not only as you do this work, but kind of building up your community, getting to know your neighbors. And, you know, we've gotten away from that a lot, too. You know, I remember being a kid and knowing everyone on my street. And now, you know, I know a couple neighbors, but we're very disconnected from each other. So finding those connections, not only within ourselves, but with each other, because we need each other. We can't do this all alone. But the work that we do, I feel, is necessary to do alone. I feel like it's necessary to get into those really ugly parts of ourselves, so that we can in turn be comfortable showing those parts to others and showing people that, hey, like, it's okay. Like, I have darkness within me too. And hey, we could do this together. But I think we need to honor it within ourselves first.
I tell you, I'm so happy I brought you on the show. I really am. I've enjoyed this so much. And it's so true. This loneliness. Vegas was bad, you know, but now it's, and now I'm in Florida, yeah. You know, there's all these newcomers. People don't know each other, and you're right. We're afraid. Everyone's afraid of each other. Afraid to say anything, mm-hmm. Even hello.
Yeah, and it's really sad. Yeah, it's really sad because, I mean, what are we actually afraid of? You know, like, I don't know. What's the answer?
and that, like, dating relationships, you know, it's like 99% online. You know, you sit there clicking, swiping. You know. And if you approach somebody in real life, it's like, oh, what are you doing? You know?
Say hello to somebody. Everything is so, Everything is so artificial now. It's very impersonable. It's very transient. It's very like, okay, well, if this person's not giving me the time of the day, on to the next one. So there's not really any foundational groundwork being laid anymore between real authentic relationships.
Well, then if everybody's staring in their phone, okay, and people aren't connecting with each other, how can all the shadow work in the world overcome that?
I feel like that's an individual question to ask yourself. It's, you know, do you want to get lost in the matrix of it all, or do you really want to pull yourself out and create meaningful and lasting relationships with people that truly, truly nourish us in a different way than getting those quick dopamine hits on social media and like, oh, I got 10 likes today. Okay, that boosted my confidence for the next hour, but now what? You know, like, we need to come back to simpler times. And although technology does definitely has its place and connects us in a very amazing way to where we have access to so much information now, we have to recognize that it's also just a tool. It's not a way of life.
You're a brilliant woman, I gotta tell you. Brilliant woman. What is the next chakra up the line? But by the way, the book again is Unifying the Whole, Chakra Shadow Workbook, shipping included. Okay. But what is the next chakra after the heart?
So the next chakra is the throat chakra. Okay. So this is the energy center literally right in the throat. This is associated with how we communicate, how we react, our self-expression, our personal truth, and how we're able to put that out into the world. So things that were really nourishing for this chakra is like, did your family encourage you to express your truth? Were you meant to be quiet, or was your voice quieted down, you know, by your parents? This all has very formative, you know, reactions to how we grow into our throat chakra as an adult. You know, when we get triggered, are we very sharp with the tongue? Are we like mean, or are we able to kind of pull it in and really formulate a healthy response and reaction to whatever it is we're being met with? So, but a very common shadow quality in the throat chakra is being inexpressive. Because again, a lot of the times we don't feel safe speaking our truth, especially with so many different ideas out there right now. People think just because automatically you disagree with someone that I wish harm upon you. Mm-hmm. And that's the complete opposite. But again, we're trying to reformulate what these actually are and help us better empower our voice so that we can use it in a positive way. So by being expressive or inexpressive in this quality, it's different than being quiet by nature or like an internal person. But if you feel like you're stopped from saying something because of fear or judgment of your ideas or anything of that nature, recognize the difference between being quiet and when you're being blocked in this space. And the gift in this quality is the art of listening. Becoming an active listener is something that we learned through our death doula course. And I can't tell you how much that helped me in realizing how much I wasn't listening. Most of the time I was kind of like half listening, but also kind of waiting for my turn to talk. Cause like, oh, I have something really brilliant I want to say right now. And kind of being in my head, like, okay, are you done talking? Okay, are you done talking? So with that, I was doing a disservice to the relationship that I'm trying to build on by not actively listening to another individual.
A tip for the audience out there, because everyone does that, you know, I'm waiting for my turn to talk, okay? And they really want to get their thought out because they're afraid they're going to forget it. If you have a little notebook with them, and write it down, and then you can ask them when they're finished. Yeah,
absolutely.
The throat and the expressive. Is this verbal expression or written expression? Is that included too? Because there's power in the spoken word. You know, there's intense power in the spoken word. Does this study take into account for that?
No, absolutely. I am also very encouraging of people writing their expressions out as well. There's something very cathartic and therapeutic about getting your words out on paper outside of the body and being able to visually look at them and allowing them to do something different for you and alchemize in a different way as opposed to just internalizing everything. So I'm very much a fan of spoken word and poetry and even just journaling and whatever else to get that out in a different way as well.
Yeah, that's true. They put your plans. And even the cavemen used to write on the walls, you know, and before, yes, you know. And I remember this therapist one time told me, write it out, keep writing, write till you're sick of it, then wrap it around a rock and throw it as far as you can. to get rid of it. Man. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. I tell people all the time, you know, do intention ceremonies with yourself. If you're having a hard day, write it all out. Like what was getting at you today? What was aggravating you today? And then light it on fire and burn it away.
And unifying the whole. It's on the Human Soul Etsy page. Etsy page. HUEMANSOL. What is, comes after the throat?
So after the throat is the third eye chakra. So this is that space right above the eyebrow. This is the energy center within our bodies that is responsible for intuition and our imagination and thought and self-awareness. It's called the third eye because it's most active in our dream space. This is space. This is what activates those really interesting other alternate realities we get to experience outside of the body, which I'm still trying to learn about why we dream. Like what is this realm that we're able to tap into in a very subconscious way? So I don't have the answer to that yet. I'm still going down that wormhole. But with the third eye, when it is open and balanced, you feel very calm. You feel very self-aware. Sometimes people can possess a little bit of foresight within manifesting what they want in their life, their truest dreams, their truest wishes, and the steps they need to do to make those an actual reality in the physical form. One of the main shadow qualities in the third eye is overthinking. So this is where we're in the mind too much. We are encoded with wisdom and divine knowledge and intelligence. And when we are overactive here, we get overly rational, overwhelmed, and do too much in the mind. So this creates a lot of, like, you know, chaos. So the gift in this quality, though, is viewing all options and possibilities. By being so active in the mind, we weigh out every little possibility, outcome, option, and this gives us a clear plan of action with how to proceed in different situations. So, again, we're going through the shadow and then kind of transforming the shadow into a gift so that it can have a new light within the body and not be such a negative thing within us.
Yeah, that's me. I'm a Virgo, and I overthink, and I look at every little detail, every little possibility, figure this out. But it's worked for me in my career. But now, what about?
Yeah, no, it's not a bad quality.
I don't know about that. Now, what about procrastination? That's one of my big problems is procrastination. Do you have something to deal with that?
So procrastination, I feel like, I don't know. I also am a big procrastinator too. I have gotten better at it. But I feel like procrastination is, I don't know, maybe for me personally, I feel like it's kind of my body's way of telling you it's not ready yet. You're not ready yet. There's a piece to this that isn't ready to be revealed yet. So everything happens in divine timing in my eyes. So when it's meant to be produced, when it's meant to be fulfilled, when it's meant to be completed, then it will be. So kind of just trusting that, like, okay, the reason I'm procrastinating is because I'm missing something right now.
Well,
something that's not revealed to me yet.
I don't think that's what's happened with me because I've missed out on some big opportunities. million dollar opportunities.
It might have been a blessing in disguise, you know, later on down the road, it might have worked out in a different way that wouldn't have been beneficial to you. So, you know, everyone has, you know, regrets and things that they wish they could have done differently. But I say regrets are just blessings in disguise.
Yeah, I guess so. That's a great way to look at it. And is the eye the last chakra? Is that the last one?
The last one is the crown. So the very top of the head is the crown chakra. This is the energy center within our bodies that is responsible for thought awareness and wisdom and connection to something outside of ourselves, whatever that means for anybody else. You know, there's no definition on what your belief has to be or what the belief is, because, again, as I was saying earlier, none of us know. None of us know what exists outside beyond this. And when we know is when we'll know. So this chakra helps to regulate the energy of consciousness, the energy of realizing we're part of something bigger. What that is, again, it kind of varies from person to person. But this chakra in particular is, helps us access that inner wisdom so that we can feel that connection to others and life beyond this, you know, human body, and allows us to see the bigger picture and feel the wholeness of this experience.
Okay, now we only have about 17 minutes left in the show, okay?
Okay.
Now, was your plan to tell us what the shadow work is that we would use to benefit from this?
So my plan was just to encourage everyone to, even if you're not ready to dive deep within this, to kind of just start paying attention to your default networks, the things that you kind of automatically go to, and why it is that you lean into and go to these various things as you're healing yourself. So, I really encourage people to kind of sit with themselves, to go through these thought-provoking questions that we have on the day of the day and give it space to be revealed to you. I notice that every time I get a little closer to myself and figure myself a little bit more, I get another piece to this large, endless puzzle of myself. It's like I'm on the path of total embodiment. I want to learn everything there is to know about myself, which sounds kind of ridiculous because I've been with myself I'll be 40 this year, almost 40 years. I should know myself pretty well, but I'm still discovering new things about myself daily. And I feel like it's that kind of that curiosity wheel that keeps me kind of wanting to venture more and seeing like what else is in there that I don't know or that I have been hiding away from myself.
Okay, I got a million questions for you. Okay. First of all, where did you come with all this? Where did you obtain all this knowledge?
Life. Life has prepared me. I honestly have to give a lot of credit to my grandfather. My grandfather was an indigenous man. He was very into nature-based earth medicine. He taught me at a very, very young age to kind of go out and explore my surroundings and be comfortable being by myself in nature, because nature is the most powerful source. And if you can survive and thrive in nature, then I think you have equipped yourself with enough tools to survive through pretty much anything. because nature, like I said, is very unforgivable. I've camped in really dangerous situations. Like I said, I've explored various parts of the world. But he, again, really encouraged me to kind of start this path of the unknown, really, because nature is a big unknown. There's so much we don't know about nature or understand about nature. And I have to owe a lot of my curiosity and my knowledge of kind of finding my way to this path to him, for sure.
Okay. Once again, this is Amber Marie, and her Instagram is Ricky4Lou. And on there, you know, this is how I found about your book, your handbook, your workshop there. And before you start telling the audience about the workshop, you do a thankful type prayer, correct?
Yeah, I always start everything with gratitude, everything that I'm grateful for, because without that, I mean, I have nothing. If we can't find things that we have to be grateful for, then what is the point of all of this?
Yeah, that's true. And how can you expect to receive another gift if you weren't thankful for the ones you've already given? Now, what about forgiveness? Which chakra would cover the forgiveness area?
The heart. The heart is... Yeah. The big portal for forgiveness, yes. And just because you're forgiving something, it doesn't mean you're allowing or giving permission for anything bad someone did. You're forgiving yourself for the experience. So again, this goes back to the internal, not so much the external, because we only have so much control over the things outside of us. So forgiveness was a big one. I had to go through a lot of forgiveness. Again, creating this out of my own grief, the heart chakra was the hardest one for me to create, because as I was building this book, I found how much deep sadness was just weighing so heavy in my heart, and finding the tools to really release it in a healthy way. And again, forgive myself for, you know, situations that I had put myself into that were, you know, beyond my control. And yeah, the heart one was a really sticky one.
Yeah. Now back to you also talk about a lot of stuff. I'm looking at one of your other pages here about this combo or sapo frog or something.
Yes, combo medicine. Okay.
Where'd you learn this? In the Amazon?
I did. So I started sitting with this medicine back in 2018. So combo is a venom that comes from a monkey tree frog in the Amazon rainforest. It secretes it out of its back. And the indigenous people have been using this for hundreds and hundreds of years. But what this medicine is a natural antibiotic. So nature is absolutely incredible and amazing. But the indigenous people helped heal and cleanse the body. It purifies the body of any toxic substances. So it gets rid of anything impure in the body as far as infections, parasites, bacteria, funguses. Anything not natural in the body. I started sitting with this medicine, and I've sat with it a couple times in the jungle. And it's just a really, really great way to clear the body, clear the energetic system for people that have severe allergies or just kind of want to kick their health up a notch. The bioactive peptides in this medicine, are doing science on it, but they've found that it is able to pass the blood-brain barrier and connect with all these neural pathways in the brain. So it sends signals down through our body. So it's scanning the gastrointestinal system. It's scanning your circulatory system. It's scanning your immunity system, your blood circulatory system. It's going through all these systems, and what it's doing is basically it's acute poisoning. So your body's being poisoned, and it creates a full body purge. So you start releasing all of these toxins out of the body. It's not pleasant or fun by any means. It's really, really brutal. They call it a warrior medicine because it's truly, you have to tap into your warrior self with this medicine, because as soon as you start feeling the effects, you're like, what have I done to myself? Because it is awful. But, I mean, I've sat with it at this point. I've probably sat with it upwards of 15 or 20 times. So it definitely has its benefits. I have seen it really work wonders on my body and my health and my skin and just mental clarity and releasing kind of like that stagnant heaviness within the body.
Amber Marie, we're out of time.
Oh, it's all good.
No, man, I really enjoyed this so much. I'm going to have you come back even maybe before. If you will come back, I'd love to have you back.
Yeah, I would love to.
Yeah, the book is Unifying the Whole. You can find it on Etsy. Chakra Shadow Workbook. It's called Human Soul, Human Soul, S-O-L. And also, too, her Instagram page has a lot of information, and you can see she talks about her skin glowing. You can look at this, you'll see. It's not a joke. Ricky Forlow. And as long as I've known Amber, she walks into a room, she's glowing, she's peaceful, everyone's happy to see her. So I trust this woman. So check out this book. I had no idea you were this brilliant, you know, science, you know, a little bit of everything. So thank you so much, Amber Marie.
Thank you so much, Ed. It was a pleasure having this conversation, and I look forward to the next one.
No, this really was. I enjoyed it too very much. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.